back to She Speaks Life. If you haven't already heard, the Serenity Journal is out now, available for purchase. Orders are going out like crazy. I'm so excited. I give God the praise and the glory for what he has done and continues to do with this journal. And if you haven't heard yet about Serenity, calm your soul, strengthen your spirit. It is a personalized scripture journal that engages you in an intimate, quiet time with God. The journal is split up into 5 topics with 2 weeks of interactively personalizing your name, your spouse's name, or even your kid's name inside the scripture verse. It also comes with how to identify God's character and applying the verse to our lives, and so much more. It's on sale right now for 15% off plus free shipping. So hop on my website, jamieelizabeth.com. The link is below in the show notes, but make sure at checkout you use code VIP15. And while you're at it, take my fun quiz. Find out what type of journal writer you are. Okay, with me is Jen and AJ from Soho Academy, where they empower and equip women to follow God with great faith. We talk about how to keep consistent in our prayer life, different ways to study the Bible, and steps to establish a routine quiet time. These ladies are such a great duo, and I hope you gain some inspiration to try something new or encouraged to keep drawing closer and closer to God. So let's get at it. Here are my guests, Jen and AJ. Well, hello, ladies. Welcome to She Speaks Live. Jen and AJ, welcome.
Hey, we're so glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
I am excited for your message here about all things prayer and Bible study, all kind of different ways and steps that we're going to talk about, how to be consistent in prayer and how to get through those struggles, and hear about what you guys are doing also in your ministry as well. So before I kick it off and dive deeper into what you guys are sharing today, I love to start us off with your favorite scripture verse and why that is.
Go ahead, AJ.
You want me to?
Yeah, okay, kick us off.
I'm going to actually try to keep mine short because I could talk about this probably the whole
Don't do it. Resist the temptation.
I know. Like warning me already. Okay, so I'm really seriously going to try to keep it short. So mine, I would have to say, it's hard to pick one verse like out of all God's word, but if I had to, it would be Psalm 84, verse 11. And it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." And I think this is one of my favorites. It's been one of my favorites since maybe 10th grade. So that's been quite a few years, a few decades ago. And I think one of the reasons is because one of the lies the devil planted early on in my life, in my heart, is that God wasn't good to me. Maybe he was good. That's a good descriptor for him overall, but he wasn't always looking out for my best interest. And maybe his intentions towards me weren't totally trustworthy, you know? And that was just a lie that I believed in my heart. And I couldn't articulate that necessarily, but it was something that my heart questioned. It questioned his goodness. And this verse was something that I clung to even very early on in my life, is that he withholds no good thing from me. He is not withholding good. Even when it doesn't feel that way or it doesn't look that way or circumstances don't say that message to me, you know, God's word is true and he is not withholding good from me. So I've gone back to that over and over again in my life during certain seasons.
Yeah, I think many of us can relate. I mean, because we're so used to just staring at our circumstances in the face and going, okay, this is what I see. And then you need to be reminded of what scripture says, that God is good, even though you can't see it in the natural or you can't feel it because you're full of pain or disappointment or rejection or betrayal. But going back to his promises, that hold true and just reminding yourself, okay, he's good no matter what I feel, because feelings can lie. Those are fleeting. And the circumstances we know shift and they can change, and he can change things in a second as well. How about you, Jen?
Yeah. Well, mine actually ties in nicely with that. So isn't it God's word just kind of,
yeah,
it's kind of cool. Anyway. So I wouldn't call this necessarily a life verse, and it's not, but it's my favorite right now. It's the one that keeps coming back into, you know, there are seasons in life where verses just keep, you just keep being reminded of them. And for me, Romans 8:18 is, I mean, of course, all of Romans 8, obviously I could quote, but, Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And for me, it's a reminder as we're going through these times where it is hard and we are forgetting his goodness and we are suffering. And although those are, if for the believer, those are building in us perseverance and hope and faith, we know all that, but remembering that as low as the valley is and as deep as our suffering is, it's nothing but a drop of water in the ocean of the glory that we will one day see. And just being reminded of my hope in eternity on a day-to-day basis while I'm living the everyday life that does include the ups and downs, but that nothing that I experience here is going to compare to what one day I will see when I see him face to face in glory. And that verse is always just really encouraging to me, no matter what I'm going through, and one of the verses that I have stamped on my heart.
Yeah, so good. Putting you back in that perspective of what God sees. I love that reminder. Okay, let's dive into what you guys are all about. Let's start out with your ministry called Sojo
Academy. Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Correct. So share with us that title. I'm curious.
Sure. So Sojo, it is an interesting title, right? So it actually is short for the word sojourner. And it comes from the fact that we are all walking this path together. We actually just had to explain it this morning to someone who's like, I don't know what that means. It's probably not a great title for a ministry because we do have to explain it all the time. But it comes from the fact that we are women walking alongside one another in a world of which we're not in this world. We're in the world, but we're not of this world. So we are, again, we're looking towards eternity and we are walking together. And so we are sojourners together. So that's where it comes from.
And just a fun fact. So my husband and I served overseas as missionaries for 14 years. And there was this little restaurant in Thailand that was named Sojo's. And it was the place where all the foreigners went. And they served sweet iced tea there. And you couldn't find sweet iced tea like anywhere else. Like it was all hot tea. And so it was like a little touch of home in the middle of this foreign land. And that's kind of the vision that we saw Sojo Academy be in. It's like, okay, we are not, this is not, our citizenship is not here on earth. And yet together, when we come together as God's people, as foreigners in this land, we can taste a little bit of what our eternal home is going to be like. So that's kind of the backstory that nobody understands.
Right. Very cool. I love it. And so this ministry empowers and equips women in their walk with the Lord. So tell us some of the ways that we can keep consistent in prayer. Like, what do you offer in your ministry when it comes to our prayer life, especially what we were just talking about, facing those circumstances?
Jimmy, dive in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, one of my favorite things, and I started this a few years back, one of my favorite things is to have what I call a ground zero scripture. And this is a verse that to me is just a basic starting point when I feel like I have absolutely nothing. Or so maybe it's a morning when I wake up and I feel no inclination towards the things of God and overwhelmed by my to-do list or by that anxiety, that stress. If I can just pre-know what scripture I can start with that helps me just to get that ball rolling and to get the momentum that I need to keep going. Because the funny thing is when we simply go to God, He meets us where we're at. That's all we have to do is take that very first step. You know, it says when we seek Him, we will find Him. And that means seeking in just the slightest way of saying, God, help. It can be that simple. You know, when we cry out to Him, when we call to Him, He hears us. He promises us that in His word. He promises His presence. And so for me, it's having just a simple scripture like Psalm 23:1. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. Just saying, God, You are my shepherd. You are my shepherd. Meet me here. I have nothing. I got nothing. I'm empty handed, but I'm coming to You trusting that You will fill me. And He does. Mm-hmm. That's the precious thing about it. He does. And so just, you know, find you a ground zero scripture that can be your go-to in those moments when you just need a starting point.
Yeah. And in addition to that, I think, and this is implied in that, is being consistent in just the habit of it. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that whatever that takes for you, whether it's having a reminder on your phone, whether it's whether it's having a reminder on your phone, whether it is whatever it takes, whether it's stacking habits and pairing them with other things, which is one of the things that we talk about in our membership, in our community. But whatever it takes to be consistent is really important. And one of the things that I have found is that it doesn't take, like you said, a big production, but it does take knowing what you're going to do, whether it's finding that one thing or having a plan and opening up and knowing, okay, today I'm going to do this. I like to do prayer journaling where I have a plan. Each day I know what I'm praying for. And just having the plan in and of itself is enough to help me in my consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, consistency is key with all areas of our life. You guys share three ways to study the Bible. And I know there's many different ways to study the Bible, but you know, share with our friend here that's listening that would love to hear what you guys have to say on how to study the Bible and some of the different ways that we can draw even closer to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, obviously there are lots of different things you can do. And so, but specifically a few of the things that you can do to really help facilitate your Bible study, in addition to having a plan, having a schedule, is finding a way to use what you have. Like, for example, if you have a Bible reading plan that you're going through, to use that plan in kind of creative ways. For me, one of the keys to consistency is being creative in how I study and how I do things and kind of changing things up. Some people are very, very, their personality is very good at, they do the same exact thing all the time. For me, it means changing things up a little bit. And that is a real key to my study, is it doesn't look exactly the same every day. And that's okay. That's okay. It doesn't have to be the same time every day. It doesn't have to be the same. That's a big thing with people, right? They feel like if they're not doing their Bible study at 5 a.m., it doesn't really count. It doesn't have to be the same time every day. It does not have to be the same. It doesn't have to look the same every day. And you can take the Bible in a lot of different ways. And so knowing that and being free in that is really important.
Yeah. And I would just add, you know, there are tons of ways, you know, when you ask this question, I'm like, oh, which three do we give out of like the 20, 30 plus that we have? But I'll just share the one that comes to my mind immediately is meditation. And I know a lot of times people don't think of this as a Bible study method, but it really and truly is. It's what I call portable Bible study, because you can take it with you anywhere. And you don't have to sit at your kitchen table with your Bible open to do it. You can simply write one verse. Say you have one of those Bible reading plans and it's a topical plan and you have a verse or a passage for each day. Well, just take your daily passage, write it on a note card, carry it with you, or you could put it on your phone. You know, I'm a little older, so I probably prefer writing to having it on my screen, but you could do it on your screen too. And meditate on that throughout the day. So how do you meditate on it? Will you read each word, emphasize each word as you read? You know, that's one way. A second way is to look for the verbs in that passage and really define them mentally, mull them over in your mind, define them. So when it says that God loves you, love is a verb. What does that mean? Like, think through what it means when you love someone. What happens when you love? When you are loved by somebody, what do they do to communicate that love? Like, ask yourself all of these questions. If you find a noun, look at the synonyms and antonyms to those terms, or a keyword, define that. Look at those synonyms and antonyms. Do a comparison and some contrasting of them. Like, really take some time to meditate. This is what it means to meditate on scripture. And as we do that, the Lord gives us deeper insights into what that one little passage is truly saying. Mm-hmm. And we start to glean his heart for us. We understand who he is. We understand who we are in him, his love and intentions towards us. And so just taking that meditation as a portable Bible study, it will blow your mind. Like, if you really start to spend some time meditating on scripture, it is life transforming.
And some people will call that verse mapping, some different techniques to that. But all of those techniques are really about getting it in your heart and meditating on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good. I mean, I found I really retain information when I write out the scripture verse. Mm-hmm. Yep. And like you said, just marinating on that or meditating on it and just asking, Lord, you know, show me some highlights, you know, and usually, or insights, usually there's some kind of download that I haven't seen before in that scripture verse, and I'll just like write it out, or I sit on a word like you were saying and just letting it take root. And then sometimes I like to go in and see what that means in Greek. And then we all know that could go into some big rabbit hole, all kinds of different things. And, you know, and looking up cross references too, and having it really become a Bible study instead of just a reading plan. And that was one of the things I wanted to do, was start reading the Bible chronologically. But what turned me off was that these Bible plans had, you need to do this on day one and you need to do this on day two. And it wasn't conducive to how I like to do things, or it was too much reading in one day just to try to get through it. The Bible plans to me, I'm a little bit hesitant because I don't like just checking things off, because it becomes a list that I just check off, and I don't want that, you know, I don't want it to become that. So I got this like aha moment where I'm like, hello, I could do it chronologically and just go at my own pace and do it my way. Is it that chronological Bible in a year? No, it's probably going to take me several years to get through the Bible this way, but that's okay because I know I'm retaining it. It's taking root. I'm not just reading it and then forgetting what I just read the next day. And so I found that to be very helpful, of writing out that verse and then just pondering on it for a while, and that being my morning quiet time.
One of the ways that if you are reading a big swath is listening to the Bible. Sometimes I will pick up things, especially if you have a good narrator. And I always choose like very dramatic narrators because my Bible app has options. And it's like all of a sudden, just the inflection that they use in particular verses and Bible stories and things, it helps you kind of see things differently. And then you can take that reading or listening in the big swath, and you can kind of narrow it down what you're talking about, the two or three verses that you really want to dive deep in.
I love the audio as well, just because that is something that you can pair with other habits and you can start to cultivate a scripture intake habit in your life without necessarily having to find any additional time in your day. So you can pair it like
shower. I do it in the shower.
Yeah. Shower or driving, you know, while you're in the car line, waiting, whatever. So you can find places naturally throughout your day that you can squeeze that in. So I love the versatility of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's dive into that meaningful quiet time. What are some things that you share in your ministry or even what you guys do, the five steps to a great quiet time?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've kind of alluded to some of them, but the first step is actually scheduling it. I think scheduling your quiet time, knowing, and when I say quiet time, I use that word loosely because if you're listening and you have, for example, tiny children, your quiet time may or may not be, well, I shouldn't say tiny. Tiny, you probably get away with it. But medium-sized children, it may not be quiet all the time. But knowing what your schedule is sort of going to look like for the day and where you can literally schedule in time with God makes a huge difference. And as I mentioned earlier, it may not always be the exact same time, but knowing that it's like an appointment. You've made an appointment with God, like any of your other appointments, and you're much more likely to keep that appointment if you schedule it. Mm-hmm. So scheduling is the first one.
Yeah. And I would say having some sort of plan is the second one. And it doesn't have to be a read through the Bible in a year, or it doesn't even have to be like one of those reading plans that we were talking about, but just knowing what you're actually going to be doing before you sit down to do it is super helpful, because otherwise, I don't know if you're like me, but I can spend my time trying to figure out what I'm doing instead of actually doing it. And that's super frustrating because maybe I get up extra early to make the time for it. And then I sit down and I'm like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed because I'm not sure where to start. So having a plan before you sit down for your time just eliminates that stress of trying to figure out what it is you're going to do, whether that's scripture reading, journaling, singing, worship, you know, whichever of the spiritual disciplines it is that you want to include, knowing what it is you're going to be doing as soon as you hit your time is helpful.
Yeah. So making a plan, scheduling, I think starting with prayer is one of the things that sometimes we, you know, if prayer is part of what we're doing, we will do it. But sometimes it's important to realize before you sit down with the Bible, starting with prayer is really important to just to kind of ask God to speak to you and ask him. Yeah. And then you can also even start at the beginning of the day before you even do any of this, before you do the scheduling and the gathering, the things we'll maybe talk about in a minute, is praying, God, just be with me during my day. Help me to keep my appointment with you. And he will be faithful to do that. And so start your day with prayer. Just it doesn't have to be a long, you don't have to sit in for a long time. It's just a quick, be with me today and allow me to spend time with you throughout the day. Pray throughout the day. We're supposed to pray without ceasing, just small prayers throughout the day. But then when you actually do have time to sit down with your plan at your scheduled time, start it with prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the next thing I would say is to just have some sort of device handy for note taking. And you're going to use that in a number of ways. Not only are you going to document how God speaks to you and journal, maybe you're going to journal your prayers or write out scripture. It comes in handy for that, but it also helps as your mind gets distracted and tells you, oh, I got to remember to take the meat out for dinner tonight. Just write it down so that your mind has the freedom to focus back on what it is you're there to do, which is to spend the time with God, right? And to meditate on his word and to allow that to speak to you. If our minds are so distracted and running in 1,000 different directions, it's too tied up to really focus. And we can be spiritually ADHD, especially in the world we live in right now.
Yeah, with our phones.
Constant pings. Mm-hmm. And I think just having something to just brain dump on while you're having your time with God it just gives your mental state the permission to let that go. It's taken care of. You can get back to that later. Right now is time for this.
Yeah.
That's good. That's the first time I've heard that. That's a good one. I just remember when I had littles, in order for me to really have that quality quiet time, I just got up earlier. And that was a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. I mean, that did not feel too great, you know, having to get up. If they got up at 7, I mean, having to get up at 6, or if they got up at 6, having to get up at 5 in the morning, just so I could get that 30 minutes to an hour. But I got to see the blessings out of that, the rewards. It wasn't for, you know, it was all for a purpose, and God blessed that time. And he gives you that energy when you just don't think, how am I even going to make it through the day with littles if I get up that early? But he does. He gives you that energy supernaturally and gets you through, because you started out giving him your first and starting out with your day with him. And I remember plugging myself into a women's Bible study at the time. So there was homework being, you know, done through this quiet time, along with just reading scripture on my own. And I think that was key too, is just being accountable of being involved in a community. Is there anything else you guys like to share before we conclude? And additionally to that, I love for you to be able to share a takeaway on something our friend here who's listening that they can ponder on or take action in.
Well, we do feel like one of the things that is one of our core things that we think through is that in order to grow spiritually, and this is an encouragement for everyone, it takes consistency in these disciplines, and not just the disciplines of Bible study and prayer, which are the biggies, right? But all of the spiritual disciplines. And some of those are much more practiced than others in our lives. Some of them are much more understood than others in our lives. And so I think that it's really important that we understand the different spiritual disciplines. Of course, starting with those that we've talked about today, and then kind of trickling down to some of the ones that we're less familiar with. We actually do have a resource to help with that, and it's free. It's sojoacademy.com/momentum, and it's basically just a guide on the spiritual disciplines, and hopefully it will help you to give practical ways in which to grow in each of them. It's really, really supposed to be a really practical, quick way to grow. And I guess my takeaway, and then I'll let you just, comes from, and it's interesting because I thought about this earlier, and then I think you might have mentioned it, so she might have stole it already, but that's good, because that's got confirmation. But it comes from an Elizabeth Elliot quote, where she was getting ready to go back to the people that had killed her husband, right? She was going back to minister to them, and she wrote a letter to her supporters, the people that, you know, were, she was just kind of letting them know what was going on. She was going back with her daughter. And she actually said, don't think that this is some, you know, great thing, this great sacrifice. It's just the next step that I need to be taking. It's just what God has told me the next step is. And so it really kind of resonated with me to think, okay, we all need to be just taking that next step. So take a small step. Even if it is not a grand, I'm going to come up this great big plan. Maybe it is figuring out what your plan is going to be next time you sit down and study. Maybe it is finding the Bible study. Maybe it is going finding one of our Bible studies. We'd be more than happy to help you. Maybe it is just taking those 5 minutes that you had not been taking previously to be in the Word or be in prayer and practicing these disciplines, and just the next step, just take the next step. And God will, as AJ said, meet you there, and then he will increase your desire to know him and make the next step even easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think my takeaway kind of piggybacks on that a little bit, because you mentioned earlier about we can give up if we feel ourselves failing at the plan that we wanted to do, or not reaching that standard of perfectionism. And my takeaway would be to learn how to fall, quote unquote, forward instead of falling back, because all of us are going to mess up. It's just the way humans do, right? There's no such thing as perfect, and there's no such thing as perfect execution. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if we can just lower that standard, give ourselves grace, and learn how to use our quote unquote failures as a way to move forward. And the best way that I do that personally is just by asking, okay, what went wrong? What worked in this? Like what was it that made me keep going? And then what was it that made me stop? Like what happened? And you know what? I've learned the craziest things about myself and about God by simply doing a little bit of reflection on that. And I've been able to make tweaks and learn, okay, well, that, for example, that audio Bible, that's a great fallback for me when I don't have time opening the actual book, you know, of God's word. Mm-hmm. So I've just learned little things that work for me. And we can all do the same thing if we don't see our failures as failures, but as opportunities to learn about ourselves and the way we connect and commune with God and use that to fall forward instead of falling behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I kind of look at like we're tailor-made for a certain style. And I think we put so much pressure on ourselves like, oh, well, that works for her. Like, maybe I should be doing that. And then you try it and then you're like, no, I don't like this, you know? And so we don't all have to be in one box or be all one shape of how we study the Bible. And just like you said, find what works for you. Where are, you know, the strengths, the ways you delight in it? And then what are the ways that don't work for you and that makes you unmotivated? And then change that. And yeah, just making it like a custom style just for you. I love that. And, you know, I like to add personalizing scripture verses. I think that was a big game changer for me when I found out I could do that. I was like, what? Put my name in there instead of we and us, and how much it just really made it even more closer to my heart, the scripture verse, and how much I felt close to the Lord in that. So that's something to try also. So, well, thanks, girls, Jen and AJ, for coming on here. You guys have a great ministry and love what you're doing for God's kingdom and just equipping women. And how, you know, that's what I love, all of us building each other up for the glory of the Lord. And thank you for coming on here.
Thank you for having
us.
Yes,
thank you so much. It's been great.
We enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for listening today, and I trust that God has encouraged you through this story. Did you know this podcast is on YouTube? Hop on there and subscribe, and you can see a live recording of each episode. And for more information on this ministry and to access free downloads, please visit my website at jamieelizabeth.com. That's J-A-Y-M-E. Elizabeth.com. And let's connect beyond this podcast by going to my Instagram handle, Jamie Elizabeth, She Speaks Life, or Facebook. Until next time, my friend, I hope God reveals himself through your own life story.